I have a couple of scriptures that I want to read to you this morning. I want to begin in the sixth chapter of Luke, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me, and read for you a few verses from the sixth chapter. I'll begin in verse 31. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." I want to use as a text the similar sermon preached by the Lord Jesus Christ in the seventh chapter of Matthew. It's actually the same wording, basically, that we find in the sixth chapter of Luke. This is notoriously known as the Golden Rule, perhaps one of the most universally praised statements Jesus has ever made. And you'll find it also occurring in the Sermon on the Mount in the seventh chapter, where Jesus also said these very words. He said, "Therefore, all things," verse 12, "whatsoever," all things, whatsoever, all things, whatsoever. This is Matthew 7 and 12. "Ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. In all things, in every area, whatsoever, Jesus says. That's the qualifiers that I want you to pay attention to. Also, I want you to know how comprehensive it is in that he says this is everything that the Bible of the Old Testament, the Old Testament, the Bible that they had, in that day, that's the only Bible that they had was the Old Testament. This sums up everything that the Bible says. This is a summary of those things, the golden rule. You know, there are a lot of different religions, the Hindus, the Buddhists. I mean, they have a form of this same principle in their religion that basically is only in the negative. They just basically say, you know, don't do anything, don't mistreat anybody, because if you mistreat them, then they may mistreat you. So just in the negative sense, you know, apply this rule. We might call this the bronze application of the rule, the bronze rule. In other words, just don't mistreat anybody, and they won't mistreat you. That's not the Christian principle that Jesus is teaching us in these passages of Scripture. Now, it's not a bad rule. You shouldn't mistreat others. And if you really want to avoid being mistreated, just don't mistreat others. I think that's very important. It's a calculated effort to avoid retaliation. You don't want people to hurt you, so don't hurt them. That's their philosophy. That's their principle. That's their rule of religion. But this principle is a principle based upon love. Even in the seventh chapter of Matthew, I want you to notice that earlier it's talking about God's love toward us. That God has loved us. He loves us so much that we can ask anything that we will, and He will give those things to us. He loves us as His children. We've received many wonderful things from God. You might notice a word that he talks about if you ask for a fish. You know, he won't give you a serpent. And he talks about how good God is. That he says, you know, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. I mean, what a blessed, loving God we have. He's good to us. And we receive many wonderful things from him. In all things whatsoever, doing unto others as they would do unto you is a kingdom principle. It's a principle of Christianity. This is what redeemed people look like. They do unto others as they would like them to do unto them. Now, this whole principle would revolutionize our society. If everybody practiced this principle, I mean, it would alter our community. It would alter our country. Our forefathers believed that redeemed people, once they got saved and they started trying to apply this principle to their lives, that it could revolutionize the world. They actually held to a position, what is called a post-millennial position. That people would get saved, the majority of the people would get saved on the earth, and it would look like that Christ was reigning on the earth, and that things would be so great that it would be a millennial reign because of this principle that people would apply to their lives because they are redeemed, where they would treat others as they would want to be treated. Now that was the prominent position of Baptists back in the 1700s. I mean, because of the Great Awakening, there were so many people getting saved, and it was altering communities to where people were living the Christian life, they were living redeemed lives, they were applying this principle to their lives, they were fulfilling and keeping the law and the prophets, they were fulfilling the principles of God's holy word, and it was revolutionizing society to such a way they thought this thing was going to spread to the whole world, and the whole world was going to be saved. Post-millennial position. I mean, people had such a deep, when they got saved, they had such a deep-rooted passion to serve God. I mean, they experienced something. It was called the New Life Movement. There was a new life that came into them, and it altered their behavior in such a way that they wanted to not only love God, but they wanted to do what the Word of God says. They altered their way of life. They changed the way that they lived. They practiced this way. My grandfather, I don't remember him ever taking the keys out of the car. He always left the keys in the car. When we lived on the farm, my grandfather lived in the country, and I don't remember him ever locking his door. I remember, you know, if he passed somebody on the side of the road and they were walking, he would always stop. It's not uncommon. You talk to these older folks. If somebody was passing through that town and they were a stranger, they would take them home with them. They would feed them. They would give them housing. They would provide whatever they needed to get them on their way. Now, they were just simply experiencing some of the aspects of the Great Awakening, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. There is so little manifestation of a transformed life in people's lives. I really wonder if people are saved. I'm just going to be honest with you. How can people be right with God and live so wrong? I mean, statistically, you know, they're supposedly the majority of people are Christians. Then why do we have to lock our doors in this community? Truth is, the golden rule can hardly be seen at church, much less in the world. You know, most everyone today, they claim rights they do not give others. You put that in the margin of your Bible. Notice the times in your life where you claim rights that you do not give others. You take liberties in your own life that you deny others. That is in direct violation of the teaching of Jesus Christ and the command to obey the golden rule. We're so far removed from the golden rule today. People just have formed their own rules. I mean, they become their own little gods, I suppose. Reminds me of the verse of Scripture in the book of Timothy chapter 3. Where the Bible says that in the last days they shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Gone from the minds of most people is the philosophy that the service I seek is the service I give. Listen, if redeemed people are ruled by the principles of the golden rule, if they are ruled by the teaching of Jesus Christ, then there's just a very scarce remedy on the face of the world today. You know one of the most conspicuous keepers of the golden rule is today? Who that is? Charlie Brown. I mean, really, there's going to be a special, I think, Wednesday night. Charlie Brown special. And, his application of the golden rule, it rarely works out to his advantage, you know. And for us to watch that, that's comical. And it's a shame that the golden rule of Jesus Christ has been reduced to a comic strip. I'm going to get on a soapbox, and I'm going to get to our verses in just a moment. I'm going to get to those words in the 6th chapter of Luke that seemed a little out of place and odd, and you were thinking to yourself, man, I wish I had another translation of the Bible where he keeps saying something about thank, thank, thank. What thank is that to ye? What thank is that to you? I'm going to get to that archaic word that was used by the translators of the King James, perhaps in just a moment. The thing is, here's the point, and I don't want you to miss the point. What thank is that of yours? That word actually in the Greek is the same word used for grace. Okay. We say that we're thankful. But Jesus said the best way we can show that we are thankful unto God for all that He has given us is by our application of the golden rule. If you're just being good to others that they might be good to you, how does that show the grace of God and the goodness of God and the gifts of God that have been bestowed upon you? How is that any different than lost people? It's not. No difference at all. The best, and we'll get to the evangelistic aspect. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But I want to get on a soapbox just for a moment. Bear with me. In the 40 years of my ministry, or 32 years of my ministry, 40 years of a saved life, 42 years of a saved life, as a Christian, I have witnessed a tremendous change in the equity among God's people. I mean, if the bronze rule is simply, you know, don't do evil that you might not receive evil, well, we'll call the silver rule to try to do good that others might do good to you. We'll just call that the silver rule because Jesus mentioned that kind of thing. And that used to exist more in our society than what it does today. I mean, there's been a tremendous change. I guess one of the best illustrations and examples of this is the Good Samaritan, the 10th chapter of Luke. You know, here's a man in the 10th chapter of Luke, and you read about this, verses 30 through 36. He went from Jericho to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Jericho, I guess it was. He was traveling on a road. He fell among thieves. He was stripped. He was beaten. He was robbed. He was left half dead. And this priest comes walking by, and he passed on the side of the road. This Levite, now keep in mind, this man probably had been to Jerusalem to worship. He definitely wasn't a Samaritan, because Samaritans had their own system of worship. He was a Jew. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was a religious man, a good man, a godly man. And he had probably been seen, perhaps, even of the priest. A priest just passed on by. The Leviticus guy comes by. The Levite, he passes on by. Then comes the Samaritan. The Samaritans didn't have any dealings with the Jews. He took this guy and he bound up his wounds. He poured him full of oil and water. He put him on his beast. He took him to the inn, and he paid for the keeper to care for him, that he might be restored back to health. And he said, "If I owe you more when I'm passing back by, I will repay." He did this to a perfect stranger. We have the negative and the positive. The good Samaritan applied the golden rule. Let me share something. What I like so much about this teaching is its brevity. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, it's very brief. Not only is it brief, but it's very simple. I like simple stuff. Jesus actually says that it sums up everything taught in the law and the prophets. Pretty remarkable, isn't it? But it not only is brief and simple, I like it because of its brevity and its simplicity, but it also points out our depravity. We are selfish, sinful people. And the Bible, see, this whole book is a book of redemption. From cover to cover, it's a book of redemption. It tells us what redemption looks like. It actually tells us in the beginning that we were in a garden and we were holy before God and we were righteous before God. We did the right thing. We acted the right way. But we fell in the garden not long after we took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have Cain slaying his brother Abel. We went from a perfect utopia of innocence and righteousness and doing the right thing to murder. Oh, how far we fail. But you know, the holy law of God, what it does is it tells us that we are sinful. I mean, we are so far removed. I mean, when you think about it, you go from that to, you know, to the concubine in the end of the book of Judges that was cut in pieces and spread throughout the nation to show the depravity and how far we have fallen as a society and as a human race. It's clear to me that the law of God tells us that we need redemption. Many times the law is a negative thing, but it's spelling out a positive thing. You should live like this. You should do this. You should love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, soul, and strength. Amen? You should love your neighbor as yourself. We have the Ten Commandments. And I'm thankful that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to redeem this world, to restore us to where we once were. That restoration should be displayed in our lives in the way that we live. And one of the ways it's displayed in our lives is by keeping God's law. You know, the Old Testament taught imperatively the duty that we have toward our neighbor, doing them good, seeking their good. And it's emphatically as clear as it is in the New Testament. Let me give you a few verses. Leviticus 19 and 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I don't know how many grudges I've had to deal with as a pastor. Oh, come on. Don't act like you haven't had one. This is one of my favorite, Exodus 23 and 4. If thou meet thy neighbor's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Deuteronomy 15, 7 and 8. Thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him. Thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his needs, that which he wanteth. Proverbs 24 and 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Proverbs 25 and 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. I could go on and on and on. All these laws and regulations regarding intricate aspects of our life. I mean, do you realize that God expects us, a redeemed people, a saved people, a godly people, a holy people, to have passion and compassion for widows and orphans? Do you realize that Israel, one of the judgments brought against them is they didn't have enough care for orphans and widows in their lives? Do you realize, let me ask you something. Do you really realize that if you see your neighbor's dog out about to get run over or just wandering around in the street and you drive on by and go on to work, you have broken God's holy law? I hope my neighbor's doing to me as I do unto them. And, you know, if their dog's out and he's, I try to put him up. I remember Jeff Elliott, he's standing on the property we've got up in the Scotchful, and he called me and he said there's a bunch of cows in the back in the fence in the backyard. I mean, in the 5 acres back there in the field. And I said, well, shut the gate. Don't let them get out in the street. Ashley almost ran over one in the street one day. Yeah. Let me read for you our article of faith. Number one, we believe the Holy Bible is divinely inspired, that it is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, that it has God for its author and salvation for its end, that it's truth without any mixture of error for its matter, and it reveals the principles, by which God will judge us. Revelation chapter 20. John said, I saw the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. Ye will be judged out of this book. Now, I believe that every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of the things done in this body, both good and evil. And the thing that determines whether you did something good or you did something bad is the Word of God. You will be judged out of this book. Now, the brevity and the simplicity of this little, this little saying, and its comprehensiveness is a blessing to me. I went back to college when I was in my 30s and had to take English before I could take Greek. And Dr. Marvin, I'll never forget when he was talking about pars and verbs. And first of all, we had this book. It was about this thick. Okay, I can't remember the name of it. I think it was like linguistical grammar and blah, 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 blah. You know, and before I attended the class, I looked through it and I'm like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into, you know? I wish I'd have listened back when I was in seventh grade.
But Dr. Marvin, he got up on the board and he wrote out this chart. First person, second person, third person. He went through the tenses. Present, past, future. He went through the mood. He wrote this over here. And he went on and then he gave us a chart. And he said, write this on your paper. Memorize this. And if you know this chart, you can parse any verb you come in contact with. Man, I wrote that thing down. I memorized that. Didn't even have to read that book. Didn't even read the book. Memorized the chart. Every test I took, I wrote that chart down on the corner of the page. And y'all know, you've taken tests. If you have the formula, if you devise an acronym, if you put together a system helps you handle the material, sometimes if you have the formula, you don't even have to know how it works. Right? Some of these complicated equations are easily worked with a formula or with a chart. Some of you guys really like the Cliff Notes. This is it, man. This is it. All right? You may not have known you're responsible for your neighbor's dog if it got out. But God's Word says you are. But all you have to do is apply the principle. If that was my dog, you might say, well, I don't like dogs. Well, you're not applying the principle. What if I was like my neighbor and like dogs? And my dog got out. Do you see? You have to put yourself in the other person's situation, in the other person's shoes. Listen, the Bible tells us if we would just love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love covers a multitude of sins. Listen, this kind of principle, if we would just simply apply it, we would not only demonstrate the grace of God to the world, we'll show the world that something great has happened to us, but we'll avoid judgment. We'll avoid the consequences of failing to keep the laws of God. I assure you, if I went through the book of Leviticus, there are many laws that God has given us in God's holy word that says this is the way a redeemed person lives, and you don't do and practice those things. But if you would do and practice this simple thing, do unto others as they would have done unto you, or as you would want them to do unto you, you would find out that you're keeping those laws of the Old Testament, of the laws and the prophets. All right. So we'll not only demonstrate the grace of God, we'll avoid judgment. But people, this is the most evangelistic way to reach the world. You know, we think, we've got this concept that, we'll just make sure that they hear what we believe and that'll save them. Listen, Jesus expects a great deal more from us than that. He expects us to demonstrate a supernatural love. He expects us to live our lives toward other people, okay, that is superior to the way they live in their fallen state. We're to love people. We're to demonstrate that love. Actually, this is the best way that you can really show that you are thankful unto God for all that He has done for you according to these scriptures, is by applying the golden rule to your life. I mean, really practicing it. And it'll reach people. They'll say, you know, I wouldn't have done that, but you're doing that. I wouldn't have helped, but you're helping. We're to help even our enemies, aren't we? Even those that despitefully use us, we are to love them and pray for them. Amen? And that supernatural way that we live, we are demonstrating the grace of God. In other words, we are expressing thankfulness when we apply the golden rule. Let me go back to Luke chapter 6 as I close. Let's notice again what he says, okay? He tells us clearly, clearly that in these passages, what we apply to our lives is a demonstration of thanks. What thanks? If you just love somebody because they love you, or you give to somebody because they've given to you, or you've lent to somebody because they've lent to you, even sinners do that. The world does that. Gentiles do that. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, even tax collectors, the scum of the earth, do that. If you're just doing what everybody else is doing and living like everybody else is living, how does that show the grace of God? It doesn't. It doesn't. We must live extraordinary lives. Now, somebody comes along and they say, well, how can I ever do that? You got to get saved. Amen. They need to see that there's something supernatural in us, that there's a supernatural love. The Bible actually says that when you get saved, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There needs to be something in you that is not of you, that comes from God, that enables you and helps you to overcome the depravity of your own nature and all that is in the world. That's possible through the blood of Jesus. It's possible for you. You know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, if you have what? Love. What kind of love? The kind of love that loves an enemy, that does good to people who would despise you and misuse you and take advantage of you. We need to even love them. We need to do good to them. And we need to say, okay, I'm going to help you, though I know that you're not going to help me. Right? I'm going to support you, though you don't support me. Are we just practicing the bronze rule or the silver rule, and we're not practicing the golden rule? The golden rule doesn't pay any attention to the fact that this person won't reciprocate in the good. You do good to them anyway. That's the golden rule. It's got to be extraordinary. Above and beyond what you just see in the world. You know, in most churches, all you see is the silver rule. I'll do you good, you do me good. I'll help you, you help me. We need to help people whether they help us or not. That's the golden rule. Yeah. Yeah. That's extraordinary. It is the best manifestation of the grace of God really being in your life. They see that in your life and they say, wow, I can't believe you did that. And you say, well, I'd want you to do that for me. And they say, this is something unique. This is something extraordinary. The church used to have something extraordinary, something very unique, something the world could not destroy, something the devil was trying to destroy, but he couldn't. And what was it? It was the power of God to live like Jesus Christ. Jesus personified the golden rule, didn't he? He lived it, and we need to live it also. Get a song, Aaron. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you know you can never live like that. You know why you can't live like that? Because there's not been a manifestation of grace. There's not been a manifestation. You can't thank the Lord for being saved. Are you glad you're saved this morning? I mean, really? You know, God wants us to do this, to live like this and act like this, and then He wants us to reflect upon how good He was to us when we did not deserve it. He was good to us. It rained on us when we were the unjust. He helped us when we were in sin. He loved us and sent His Son when we were yet in our sins. We reflect on how good God was to us, and bringing us under the sound of the gospel and redeeming us and saving us. And we're more focused on that. And it doesn't bother us that nobody else responds. Let's stand and sing. Do you really have that kind of love? There's only one way you can apply the golden rule. And that's to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is how redeemed people live. You know you can't live that way because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You don't have the love of God in you. You don't have the blood of Jesus on you. And you can't live that way. And you know you can't live that way. But if you'll come to the cross, He will transform you. He will change you. He'll make a new creation in Christ Jesus in you. And you can live according to the golden rule. Let us sing.